Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. It is a blessing to be on the air one more time. I never take these opportunities to be God's earthen vessel for granted. And I pray that you do not take that for granted as well. The Word of God says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. And so I pray that you are ready to hear the Word of God, that you come thirsty, that you come hungry to the table of God, ready, willing, and able. God bless you, and thank you for being a faithful listener to this broadcast, Mission from the Heart Radio. Today we are going to look at a passage that the Lord laid upon my heart. And of course our lesson is, who do you say I am? Now that's the question to all of us who may be listening to this broadcast today. Who do you say I am? And we're going to look at that particular passage, those few verses in the book of Mark. So if you would get your Bibles ready, get your tablets ready, and bring paper as we look at these three particular points that I will address concerning our lesson, Who Do You Say I Am? The time has come for Jesus to ask a response from his disciples concerning himself. That's you and me. We are his disciples, and he's asking us, who do we say he is? He wanted to hear this from the lips of the disciples, the 12 that he chose. He wanted to hear what they had to say from the innermost part of their heart, their thought concerning his person and work. And we're going to look at that in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. So if you could go ahead and flip through your Bible to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, and we're going to focus on verses 27 through 30. And the question is to everyone who must face him for themselves. And we will look at that. So look, let's read the verse, if you will. But before we start, I want to offer a prayer of praise to our Lord and Savior. So if you would bow your heads with me as we touch in agreement and like-mindedness, and we lift up a prayer of praise. Lord, we just thank you for another opportunity to share your word. As you reveal your word to us in the most beautiful and awesome ways that you do. I ask that you speak to our heart, Lord. Purify us to receive the rhema word that you have for us to receive. Expand our minds. Speak to our hearts. Reveal to our hearts what we need to know through your word. The beauty of your word, the conviction of your word, the commitment of your word, that we would confess your word to others. We trust you, we exalt you, and most of all, we thank you for allowing us to have ears to hear as you reveal the beauty of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So thank you, brothers and sisters, for listening. Thank you for praying with me as we dive right into this word of God in the Gospel of Mark. And for the benefit of those who take notes, and I am one of those individuals, I want to give these passages to you up front before we read through them. But my focus verse and chapter is Mark 8:27 through 30. But these passages are also found in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 17, for you note takers, and also Luke chapter 9, verses 18 through 20. So if you could scribble those down maybe in the margin of your Bible or on your paper so that you can have those for your reference as we focus on Mark. Now, we will flip-flop back and forth, but be ready to move swiftly, because when the Lord brings us through his word quickly, we want to be ready, willing, and able to move with him so that we won't miss what he's trying to reveal to you as well as me. So that was Mark 8:27 through 30, Matthew chapter 16, 13 through 17, and Luke chapter 9, 18 through 20. Now, our points for today's lesson, who do you say I am, are point one, confession. The confession of our faith. Point two, the commitment. The commitment of our faith. And point three, the conviction. The conviction of our faith. Point one, confession. Two, commitment. And three, conviction. So let's look at the passage. And if you would, read along with me. Now, always remember the question, who do you say I am? And this is what Jesus is asking, what he's asking them, being the disciples, in Mark 8. And we're starting at 27. Jesus and his disciples went on to the village around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, who do people say I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? Peter answered, you are the Christ. Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Now, let's look at it from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, and we're going to read at 13. Matthew 16, 16, and we're going to start at 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we're going to stop there. And we're going to look at the Gospel according to Luke. And we're going to go to chapter 9. And we're going to read verse 18. Once when Jesus was praying,
and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life. But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "The Christ of God." Amen. Now, all three Gospels have a little bit of variation, but what I found so beautiful in these passages is that the finger was being pointed at me and you. So if you read it with conviction, who you are in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. Of course, we know that those who do not know him intimately, personally for themselves, they have no understanding of what these scriptures are teaching us. They don't understand the question that Jesus is asking not only his disciples, but he's asking you and I that very question today. So when you read it as if the mirror is on the page of your Bible, and all you see is yourself as you read these verses, three epistles, then the question is not, who do the crowds say? Who do the people say? Who do they say? Remember, the topic of this particular lesson for today is, who do you say I am? And of course, Peter hit the nail on the head. The Christ of God, according to Luke 9, verse 20. And then according to Mark, Peter answered, "You are the Christ." So, the confession of Jesus' identity is, who do you say he is? If Jesus asked you that question, what would you say? Now, of course, we have the scriptures to tell us and teach us what they said. But as a believer in Christ Jesus, and someone asking you the same question, who do you say Jesus is? What would you say? How would you explain to someone who may not know who he is? Would you be able to? Have you practiced enough through the scriptures to know how to tell somebody who you say he is? Now, this is personal. It's not a group thing. Although the body of Christ is one body, but to win souls to Christ, could you confess with your mouth who he is? Let's look at some names of who Christ is. Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. Now remember, when we read through the passage in Mark, in verse 28, they replied, meaning the disciples replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." He was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. He is the Son of Man. He is the Son of God. Make note of these. He is the Messiah, the Christ, teacher, master, one of authority to forgive, Lord, Savior. Let's look at this particular verse. Let's go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Revelation 19, verse 11 puts it this way. I saw heaven riding open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one else knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nation. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Remember, who do you say I am? Let's look at John 6, John chapter 6. Verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, he asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what miraculous signs then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. Written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, now this is what he said, and I hope you're following with me, and this is verse 35. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Our confession. He is Lord of lords, King of kings. He is the bread of life. And in our confession, let's look at John 14. Move on over to chapter 14, and let's look at verse 6 and see what it says, or see what it says, who he is. Starting at verse 6, we'll back up to verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Wow. I'm going to read verse 7. If you really know me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Amen. Now, I just thought that these verses are so rich and so convincing and so useful for our confession of our faith. Would we be able to make these statements with clarity, with confidence, that he is the bread of life, as stated in John 14, verse 6. Verse 25. That he is the way, as indicated in John 14, 6. He wants us to know that he is I am, that he is the Son of God, that he is King of kings and Lord of lords, the great I am, the Rhodes of Sharon, the bright and morning star. Can you confess that not only to him, Jesus, but others who don't know him? And have a joy and a conviction of your faith. Can he trust you? Can God trust you to confess that he is who he says he is? In a world today that does not have a thirst or a hunger to know who he is, they have no concern, lazy mentality, unconcerned, taking life for granted as if tomorrow will manifest itself, planning for futures as if the future is going to be there as they've planned. Our confession of who he is the light that shines bright within us. The Holy Spirit reveals to us who he is for the confession of our faith. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. My first point, the confession of our faith. Who is our faith? Jesus Christ. Where does our hope and faith come from? Jesus Christ. Who do we put our hope and faith in? Jesus the Christ. Who do we have stretched out arms for? Jesus the Christ. Have you been in a situation to where only you could call on one name and one name only? My Lord Jesus, help me. My Lord Jesus, bring me out. My Lord Jesus, bring me through. My Lord Jesus, how are you going to provide? My Lord Jesus, what shall I do? My Lord Jesus, where do I go? My Lord Jesus, I need to hear from you. Jesus, the Christ. Point two, our commitment. Let's look at the passage in Mark 8. He asked, who do people say I am? People, the world. If we were to go out randomly asking people on the street, how many answers do you think we would get if we were asked, if we were to ask that one question? Who do you say Jesus is? Some may hit the nail on the head, but most would have some far-fetched answers, just as the disciples replied in verse 28 of Mark chapter 8. They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets. We live in a world today who do not know him for themselves. They're not convicted to want to know him. But thank God for the faithful who go out that Jesus is Lord, who's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who will not deny him before man, that others will be pulled in to the ark of salvation. So if we were to ask that random question, that question to random people in today's society, we know that we would hear many, many answers. Some so far-fetched that it wouldn't be funny. But we, as children of light, for those who know him, for those who are not ashamed to confess Jesus. Because remember, the question is not for them, it's for you. It's for me. Who does he say that I say he is? He's asking me. He's asking you. Who do you say he is? We looked at scriptures to show us what the scriptures say. It was foretold in the Old Testament. He fulfilled it in the New Testament. Can we share that? So again, they said in verse 28, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets. If you were at your job or if you were in a place where someone addressed you as to who you are, would you tell them up front that I'm a teacher, your profession, I'm a lawyer, I'm a doctor, something that has status in society? Or would you say, I am a Christ follower? Would they know that you are a follower of Christ Jesus? Would the name come out of your mouth at any point in time of the day? Or do you hold that in as a concealing it to not let people know? Does your walk exuberate Jesus Christ? Does your smile give glory to who you are in Christ Jesus? Do your words glorify and edify him? Jesus is talking specifically to his disciples. That's you. He knows what the world is saying about him. He knows what they're not saying about him. But what do you say? Our question. That's his question. We are to confess our faith. We are the light of the world. We are going to be held accountable of what we say and do before man. And Jesus asked his disciples, but what about you? I know what the world says. I know what they're doing. I know what they're not doing. But I want to know about my children. What about you? He asked, who do you say I am? And Peter, we know Peter's habit. He's the first one to open his mouth. But thank God for Peter, because he answered correctly. And when we looked in the book of Matthew, let's flip back to Matthew 16. And let's look at verse 17. And in Matthew 16, verse 17, look how Jesus replied. Jesus replied after Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man. Meaning no one told you to say this, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Verse 20. Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. The gospel according to Matthew. And as we read in the Gospel according to Mark, in verse 30 of chapter 8, Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. And that's because some things had to happen. But he wanted them to know who he was for themselves. Now, of course, we know how the story goes. We know that Jesus died on the cross. And if we read further in chapter 8 of Mark, start at 31, if you will, and follow with me. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. And he rejected and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Again, Peter opening his mouth, sticking in his foot. But he did correctly answer in the verses prior to this, but unfortunately, he didn't know what he was talking about for Jesus having to rebuke him. Of course, in verse 33. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have a mind. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Now, we have to be careful as his children, because we know we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Now, those who confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior, those who spend time in discipleship with our Lord and Savior, those who study to show themselves approved unto God, those who give adoration to him, those who glorify him, and those who confess that Jesus is the Christ, possess the Holy Spirit, who is working things out inside for our good. He, in his natural man, rebuked Jesus because he did not understand certain things. But we can be that way as well. We can be weak in our spiritual growth. We can be on milk in our spiritual growth and not yet eating meat of the word. That is why it's so important for us to get in small group Bible studies or attend your church Bible study as well as Sunday school and listen to the Word of God when it's being preached, whether it be on your radio, whether it be on your cell phone, whether it be in your own personal study time. Listen to his still, small voice, that the conviction of your faith will mature, that the little mustard seed faith will become great faith. Remember what the word it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And our faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? Television, TV programs, worldly videos, worldly music? No. Hearing the word of God. Praying to a God who has the authority to forgive. So, as we confess Jesus, as we commit ourselves to the work of his calling in our life, as you see when he said in verse 30, Jesus warned them, do not tell anyone about what he said about him. He instructed them and he spoke plainly. He did not speak over their head. They may not have understood. We don't understand how God is using us at times, but we are to trust him. We are to believe by faith that what he began in you, he will bring it to completion. We are to yield the Holy Spirit. When God says speak, you are to speak. When God says preach, you are to preach. When God says teach, you are to teach. When God says to go out and mission, you are to mission. It won't make sense all the time. But remember, the obedience of the Holy Spirit is a lot better than the correction of disobedience. He had to accomplish some things that the disciples didn't understand. And that is the same purpose in you, my brothers and sisters, as well as myself. He created you, fashioned you in the womb of your mother. He has a purpose and a plan for you to do amazing things in Christ Jesus. He's given you a mouth to speak, ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to love. All of these characters I just said are God the Father. Spoke to them plainly about this. And this is what he does with us. We are committed to the call of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the very most far ends of the world. Mission from the heart is just one venue to get the gospel of Jesus Christ across the world wide web. There's not enough of us doing this as lights, as believers, as his children. You have been created for a purpose, and the purpose is to confess. The purpose is to sing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The purpose is to win souls over to Jesus Christ. The purpose is to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The purpose is to extend the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost. The purpose is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The purpose is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Who do you say I am? Our commitment. Now, the third point is your conviction. As we read in verse 31, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. Many things. He began to prepare them for what was going to happen to him. Let's look at Mark 9, verse 31. Walk with me to chapter 9 in Mark, and let's look at verse 31. Because he was teaching his disciples, he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days, he will rise. And verse 32, but they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. Sometimes God reveals dreams to us that we don't understand in our sleep. Sometimes God speaks to us in a small, still way that we don't understand what he's wanting for us to do. But we know we've got a yearning or a tug on our heart to say something to somebody that we may not understand why, or to express something to someone that we may not know why, or to see something in a dream that we may not fully understand. But it's okay to pray about it. It's okay to be obedient of the tug of the Holy Spirit. It's okay to even ask, is this of you, Lord? Is this you speaking to my heart? But they were afraid to ask him about it. We serve a loving God. We serve an honest God. We serve a just God. He's tender, caring. He's our shepherd. Go to chapter 10, verse 33 in the book of Mark. Chapter 10, verse 33. We are going up to Jerusalem, he said. And the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. Those are the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes, the religious leaders. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him, and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. He began to prepare them, his disciples, for what was going to happen to him by telling them three times that he would soon die. Some people in today's times don't even believe he came, much less died and rose again. But our conviction of faith concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ is what we stand firm on. We don't waver in our conviction. We know he went to the cross. We know he paid it all on the cross for our sins. We believe it by faith, although we've never seen it. But even the disciples turned away from him. They scattered. But we stand firm. We take courage. We don't cower back. We have family members that need to hear Jesus from the mouth of you and I. They may not like you. They may not want to be around you, but that is okay. They killed Jesus. He gave up his life on that cross. They crucified him. They wanted to get rid of him. We've got family members that say that about you and I when we come around. Here she comes. Here he comes. Talking that Jesus stuff. We have people like that on the job that don't want to be around us, so they conveniently avoid us. Why? Because of whose we are in Christ Jesus. As believers in Christ Jesus, we may not have a lot of friends because of the light that we so shine. But the day of reckoning will come. We read that in Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. Jesus the Conqueror, the day of reckoning. Our conviction is we stand firm on who we confess, and we are committed to the call. Jesus didn't back down. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. He fulfilled it in the New Testament. He was committed. He was plain and simple. in explaining to them, the disciples, what had to take place, what had to come to pass. But one thing we have to remember is that we have a calling on our life. And what that calling is, you need to find out in prayer with God. Don't let these days go by being a lackadaisical believer in Christ Jesus. Don't let these days go by being mediocrity as a believer in Christ Jesus. Don't let these days go by grieving the Spirit, quenching the Spirit. Be strong in the Lord, like Joshua. Take courage in the Lord. Be used mightily by God to make a difference in somebody's life. It might be your husband. It might be your wife. It might be your mother. It might be your father. It could be that neighbor's child that God wants you to put seeds of righteousness in. He would use that child to manifest seeds of righteousness in that whole household. It's up to you and me. Because remember, the question is, who do you say I am? In a world that it appears that it's going to hell in a handbasket. Fear is on the right, it's on the left, it's in front, and it's in back. Fear of all kinds, fear of the dark. Fear to move around the city. Fear to drive after a certain period of time. Fears keep us from moving. Fear makes us complacent. Fear hinders us from growing. Fear is opposite of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence not seen. Faith. Jesus is faith. Brothers and sisters, I pray and hope that this lesson has been a conviction of your heart to look at yourself and see Jesus asking you and you and you, who do you say I am? He doesn't want to know what Bubba says or Sheila says or Roxanne says or uncle or aunt, brothers or cousins or even coworkers. He wants to know your conviction of faith, your commitment to the call and your confession of why you chose Jesus Christ. Can we pray for those who may not know him, brothers and sisters, in the pardoning of their sin? This is a time when we need to extend the gospel of Jesus Christ. I do not like to let an opportunity go by when I can have my brothers and sisters in Christ partner with me in prayer and extend the gospel of Jesus Christ to somebody that you may know that the Holy Spirit has placed in your heart and mind to lift up in prayer for salvation. It might be your spouse. It may be your mother, your father, someone so close to you, or a wayward child, a defiant daughter, or a girlfriend who refuses to hear Jesus from your lips. So let's pray for them. And if someone is listening to this broadcast who may not know him intimately, personally for themselves, this is the day that he has made just for you to come to know him in the pardon of your sin, personally for yourself. So if you would, pray with me. Prepare your heart. Repeat after me. But it's your heart, your mind, that must be in line with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As humble as you know how, as tender as you choose to be, let's pray. Dear Lord, my Father in heaven, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Lord, please come into my heart as I surrender to you that I cannot save myself from eternal damnation. I need you to come into my heart, purify me, that I will yield to you. I need a Savior. I need Jesus. Purify my soul. Clean me on the inside, that you would come. I love you, Lord. I give my life to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, thank you for praying with me. I pray that you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you are now born again, that you have been placed in the ark of salvation. Now it is your responsibility as a new creation, as a new creature in Christ Jesus, to get into a Bible-teaching church, a church that will disciple you, that you will grow and go in grace, that you will be baptized and let the world know that you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you are no longer ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he is now your front and center. Let the world know. Confess him before man. Let your light so shine and be salt of the earth. Praise the Lord. Thank you again for being a faithful listener of this broadcast, Mission from the Heart Radio. Always remember that the grass wither and the flowers fadeth away, but you and I both know that the Word of God will remain forever. Thank you again. God bless.